This is Between the Lines, WMUK's weekly look at books and writers. I'm Zinta Astars. Joseph Gross is the director of the Ransom District Library in Plainwell, where the kids call him Mr. Joe. But he's also a poet, and his first poetry collection, Everything at Rest is Waiting to Move, was recently published by Celery City Chapbooks.
These are definitely poems mostly culled from the last 5 years or so. Okay. There's a couple of older ones. I recognized, I guess, a certain theme in the writing as I hadn't looked at it together for a long time. And so while there's not a vast array of work that these were chosen from, I write fairly slowly and I write other things too. But I think I found a kind of a sense of change and the theme of change in a certain number of poems. And I tried to group them together somewhat for that. And admittedly, there are a couple poems that seem to eschew that theme that I am fond of and wanted to put in there, especially being my first collection. And of course, when I put it together, I didn't know that it would get published. It's essentially a submission to a contest. And a local friend kind of encouraged me to do so. I hadn't been submitting as much in recent life, busy with a lot of things. But sometimes we need that, the people in our life, to give us a little shove.
That's why they're our friends.
Yes. Yeah. So I think it represents most of, in my opinion, my better poems from the last decade of my life. And a lot of them were written in about a 2-year period where I was really focusing on my poetry. I took a class at Western during the course of my MFA with Bill Olson, and he was really inspirational. I hadn't focused specifically on poetry in quite a few years since I had studied with Dean Young at Loyola, who was became a hero for me, really, a mentor, and interestingly also a friend of Bill's. Poetry world maybe not being super huge. There was just a nice connection there, and it really brought me back into that mindset. So I'm seeing, and for instance, I met a lot of poets in that class who I'm still in contact with and whose work I really appreciate, and I'm sure that when they see this chapbook, the ones who do, they'll recognize a fair amount of work from that individual class even.
By any chance, do you have a poem in your pocket that you can pull out and read for us?
I do. I would be pleased to read one.
And this is going to be from the chapbook.
It is. It is from my recent chapbook. Thank you, Celery City and Friends of Poetry, Kalamazoo. I'm going to read a poem called Transforming, partly because really to get ready for this interview, I thought, had to think to myself in some ways for the first time, what is this book about, really? And while I had some themes in mind a little bit while I was putting it together, it was easier to detect them than it was to decide on them ahead of time, if that makes sense, kind of. You have only your own work and yourself. And so I do see that, especially as a kind of middle-aged guy that I am at this point, that dealing with change is such a huge part of thought process and what is behind a lot of the poems. So I tried to choose the one that took that head on more. The name of this poem is Transforming, and it was originally published in the Tipton Poetry Review. Nothing is transfixed, not the humblest of rocks, the sedimentary, far from the sexy melt of metamorphosis, a piece of limestone or shale that rests on one side, flat as a dinner plate on a flat Midwestern yard, on a day with no wind, anchored in grass and one quarter mud sunk. Forget about orbiting, about hurtling. Each internal atom shudders and thrusts at the frontier of the next, a cumulative tremor, unending as cracks on a Nebraska highway, mumbling under this young mother's car, under her body's foreign and fruitful swell, by the wooden tees of utility poles strung out like a stutter. She looks in the rear view at the face of her transforming, blank, rubbery, inscrutable as the cosmos, vibrating with the road's rhythmic ticks. She thinks of a melody from her childhood, a tune about foxes stealing chickens from a henhouse, and takes a breath of cool morning air that she'll return as a warm song of hydrogen.
This is Between the Lines on WMUK. I'm Zinta Astars. I asked Gross how he knows a poem hits the mark of greatness.
Have I been moved by this work? I think that there are things that I've admired without necessarily being moved. And so in that way, I guess I sometimes, maybe more than some poets or readers, appreciate a work that I can really sort of find my bearing in rather than something that is so abstract that it's difficult to find an entry point. And maybe some of that is some prose experience for me. It's almost an embarrassing thing to admit.
Yeah.
But so I guess that's sort of the basis of it. I know I've also been moved by things that I couldn't say that I totally understood.
That's interesting because I've had that as well. You know, when I read something, you talk about not finding a point of entry because something can be so abstract. There are times, and I puzzle about that, that I'll read a poem and it's like, I'm not sure I understand this poem, but I love it. Mm-hmm. There's something in the beauty of language or how certain words or images are juxtaposed. Do you get that sometimes where it's like when you say, I'm embarrassed to admit it, but it's like, can I tell anybody I don't get this, but I love it?
Well, and there's another place, not to bring his name up constantly, but I knew I would if we started talking. You know, a thing that I loved about Dean was that, for instance, when a student in the class, he gave us some of his own work at mm-hmm. one point, and it was beyond most of the students in the class, and I would include myself in that, frankly, although I was incredibly impressed by it. And one of the students said, well, he had to read it twice. And it was a Dean's response was, good, I'm a little insulted if you got it on the second try. You know, like, and it was opening the door for me to be able to see that you can, maybe in the words of Dai Seuss, an incredible local poet, that sometimes you have to not try to understand something, but just to feel it. And and I think mm-hmm. that's a pretty good description. Dean and some of the other poets that I appreciate from his generation, especially Mark Doty in particular, seem to find a great connection with post-impressionist painters who were really pushing the boundaries on abstraction in painting.
Yeah.
And Dean talked a lot about connectivity to those ideas. And what I inferred from that was that a picture can be abstract and we don't feel like we have to understand it, but we appreciate it. And
I like that comparison.
You know, a poem can work like that. The images juxtaposed next to each other can create
a type word of painting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think people struggle a little bit, though, and feel bamboozled sometimes by something made of words, which is our communicative tissue, that doesn't seem to make sense.
Yeah.
And that seems like a joke has been played on you maybe a little bit or something. And
well, that's probably why, you know, I think a lot of readers fear poetry because of that moment of like, I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just here and now give people permission to not get it.
People, live with it. Yes.
At least not for the first 10 reads.
Yeah, no doubt. Absolutely. And, you know, I have enjoyed trying to work my way into understanding with a variety of poems. Wallace Stevens, I know, was a hero of some of the poets that I'm talking about, also from a previous generation of American poets. And I don't remember which poem it was that he said was his favorite, but near the end of his life, he was asked what his favorite poem was. And he listed one, and the interviewer was, I think, a little surprised and asked why. And he said, because nobody's figured that one out yet.
I'm Zinta A-Stars. You've been listening to WMUK's Between the Lines, our weekly look at books and writers. I've been speaking with poet Joseph Gross, the author of Everything at Rest is Waiting to Move. Visit WMUK.org to hear more of our conversation. And join us every Tuesday at this time for Between the Lines. Thanks for listening.